Welcome to the One Oahu Podcast. I'm Brandy Higa, and today is Thursday, April 11th, 2024, and we're joined this week by John Nouchi, Deputy Director for the City's Department of Transportation Services. John, thank you for making some time for us.
Morning.
You have been to some of these. We are now three meetings in for this year's Mayor's Town Hall Tour. What were some of your takeaways from these first few meetings?
You know, we really love getting out there and sitting there with Mayor and just learning about the very specific things that go on in each of these communities. And, you know, knowledge is power, right? And we might not have known about some of these things in these neighborhoods had people not come out to these meetings. So there's super plenty of value in people coming on and telling us, like, hey, I have a problem with this. How can we? And then we can be there to help them solve that. And I think that's that's one of the greatest things about working in government is that you have the power to help people with their problems.
And as we're getting ready for these meetings, you kind of know some of the issues that will come up as we get to certain districts. For example, the very first meeting in Kapolei, they asked for an update on the Makakilo Drive extension. For those that weren't at the meeting or didn't see it on the news or on Olelo, what was the answer for that question?
So actually, you know, right now we're focusing island-wide right now. I know the Makakilo residents want an extension of Makakilo Drive, but given what's happened in Lahaina last year, we really can't turn away from the fact that we do have a lot of neighborhoods that only have one way in and one way out. Mm-hmm. And on a day-to-day basis, of course, that's very grating should there be, you know, any kind of traffic or some kind of disruption to their access to their neighborhoods. And so we've really linked arms. And again, this is a great time to be in government because our federal, state, and city and county partners, as well as the other counties, we're all working really well together. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to jinx it, but I think it's unprecedented in terms of how well we like to work with each other right now. And we've been focusing a lot on identifying where neighborhoods could easily be fortified and made more resilient by adding in some small infrastructure to make emergency access roads for these communities. Now, emergencies can come in all shapes and sizes and from all directions, but I think, you know, wildfire is on everybody's mind. And so we've been kind of working through in other neighborhoods to just see where could we possibly fortify their single point of access to, in an emergency, help people get out of the neighborhood most efficiently. And we've really been linking arms with our state and federal partners on that. So we have some solutions that we're looking at for Makakilo to actually bring people out of the very topside communities and find an efficient way, egress down the hill, should there be an emergency that prohibits them from using the lower Makakilo Drive section.
I want to ask you about road safety. This question didn't necessarily come up in the town hall meetings, but I asked Mayor this last week on the One Oahu podcast. We recently had two deaths out in Ewa. What, if anything, can be done? I know that we got you on the last time to ask you about the same thing, road safety, but it's really so hard to influence driver behavior. When this kind of stuff happens, what can you do? What can this department do?
You know, that it's a tough subject for us. It is a really tough subject about, you know, how do we keep our people safe? How much can we actually engineer our roadways to keep everyone safe? And I do believe we can do a lot. We're aiming towards Vision Zero, which means that every death on our road is preventable. So any crash that we have that injures anybody on the road should not happen. And while we believe there's a lot we can do in certain situations, a lot of it does fall on the individual users of the road. They have to take responsibility for their actions and understand that everything you do out there, like if you're on a road, if you're a motorist, if you're a bike, a pedestrian, driving a large vehicle, small vehicle, you have to pay attention. It is so hard to pay attention right now. And I almost think, like, when people don't pay attention, it adds to everybody else's angst and impatience, and therefore kind of like raises the temperature unnecessarily on our roadway, right? Like, you know, if you're sitting behind someone in traffic, and I don't drive a lot now, so I don't, you know, I'm actually pretty happy about that. I don't drive a lot now, but I know a lot of people, that's all they do. If you're behind somebody in the intersection and the light turns green and there's that uncomfortable pause, right, mm-hmm. where people don't know whether that person's going to go, and then some people try to politely tap the horn like beep beep, but then some people notice, oh, that person's looking at their phone, and then they get right. mad and they lay on the horn. And like, the hill that I'm willing to die on is we are not a horn honking city.
Yeah.
Honolulu, Hawaii.
Unless you know somebody, right?
Unless you know somebody. Unless you're doing it friendly, right? Yeah. We don't honk horns. And like I said, I'm willing to die on that hill, but I noticed like our temperature is high on the roadway. Yeah. When people don't do what they're supposed to do, like people, there's more people laying on horns now than the polite, hey, what's up? Like,
yeah.
It's like not, it's not a shock up beep. It's like a, not a what's up beep.
When
it's
you
like
lock a, out the elbow.
It's like, hey, dummy. You know, like that's kind of what it is right now. And I don't like that. I don't like to see where we're going. And again, I think everybody's, when they're trying to get someplace, I think everybody's, I'll use the term that our Complete Streets administrator, Renee Espial, says, everybody's oversubscribed. Everybody has this much time to get something done, and they give themselves this much time to do something that takes this much time. I don't think that that's not good for us. It always puts us under this pressure cooker, right? And so I think most of the crashes, most of the injuries happen, yes, because of inattention, but also because we don't give ourselves enough time. We just we set unrealistic expectations on how long it takes us to do things. And therefore, when we get on the road, we're already like kind of almost broken already, right?
Yeah.
And that's something I think we all need to kind of take a pause and go like, hey, am I being realistic about like, I know I need to get from here to Waianae and I give myself half an hour. Not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Right? And why should we make it impossible for ourselves right from the start? So, I mean, and I think that's really the cause of most of the bad things that happen on our roadways. People just making bad decisions under duress. So take a step back, take a deep breath, realize what a great privilege and responsibility it is to operate on the roadway or walk on the roadway or bike on the roadway. And just don't take any unnecessary risks, because that one risk in that one moment could greatly, vastly change the trajectory of your life and somebody else's life. And I don't want to sound super like gloom and doom about it, but it's true though. You look away for 1 second. If people are not supposed to be doing this, but if they look down at their phone while they're driving, they can go pretty far in that moment that it took them to glance at the text message that's still going to be there when they safely park the car. So, you know, just don't be distracted. Pay attention. Yours and everybody else's life depends on it when you're on the road.
Yeah, tailing on that though, the responsibility that you are given, right, that you take on when you get on the road behind a wheel, on a wheel, right? Like you said, bikes, e-bikes, motorcycles, I mean, anything that you get on. But that responsibility, I think about, you know, recently there was a 12-year-old injured in Kailua, but that was on an e-bike.
E-bike.
And the responsibility on a 12-year-old, that feels a little young to me.
Yeah. So, this is kind of awkward for me because I have an e-bike. I love my e-bike. But even the e-bike that I have, I realize I can go pretty fast on it.
Right.
And lately, I've made the commitment that when I ride that e-bike, I wear a helmet. Just because I think I can go a speed where I could do serious damage to myself or somebody else, right? And again, like I said, with road safety, it's a partnership between what we engineer and how people act, right? But with e-bikes, it's tough because by state law, and actually DTS wanted to get in front of this Christmas time, but by state law, you have to be at least 15 to operate an e-bike. And, you know, we're finding that e-bikes were like the hot Christmas gift this past Christmas. Yeah. So we almost wanted to get in front of that and say, hey, you know, we understand your kids might want this, but they might not be old enough. So know the law. And there's also a kind of an interesting sequence of things. So you have to be 15 to ride an e-bike, but you have to wear a helmet until you're 16 years old and riding any bike. So we kind of would like to take a look with the state at the laws that are in place with e-bikes and just make sure that, one, there's education, that people know who can and cannot operate them.
Yeah.
And it's confusing too because we have other devices. We have like foot scooters, but we also have electric dirt bikes and electric quads. And we're even finding that people are riding these electric dirt bikes as if they're street legal, which they are not, on the streets.
Yeah, I've seen some.
And you can see these guys, like not just guys, but like everybody just doing like wheelies.
Yeah, I saw that the other day.
And like, yeah, I mean, if you just look up your, you know, your local sites on like on IG, you'll see people doing crazy things on roadways that were never intended for that. Like, they're not supposed to be riding a dirt bike on a public roadway. They are. And they're going 55 miles an hour, popping a wheelie in the middle of H1.
Yeah.
Not cool, folks. Like, I'm gonna actually address the camera, super not cool. But, you know, that's part of the challenge. And for us, like, I love the fact that kids are like embracing bicycling again, and maybe an e-bike is a great way to get them interested in biking, but you know, we still have our laws, and it's a really odd position for me to be in, like being really happy about kids learning like the joys of riding a bike again and discovering that, but then also being like, oh, you really shouldn't be riding that till you're 15.
Yeah,
so I think we really want to look at the laws in place and just make sure that everybody understands it. So quite possibly what we would like to advocate for is just maybe enhanced helmet use for e-bikes, at least to maybe a greater age, mm-hmm. and more bike ed programs. And really, that's why we do Complete Streets, right? We want to make streets safe for all users, whether you're riding a bike or walking or driving, right? And part of that is just we can engineer the street exactly as we want, but people have to comply to the laws that are on the street. Yeah. So like, you know, if you're riding a bike, you can't be zipping through stop signs and all that. You have to comply by the same laws. So yeah. it's it kind of hurts me because I love to see all these kids like learning how super fun it is to ride a bike.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't really want to like be a negative Nelly about that.
I want to jump back to the town hall meetings, because last week, a woman at the Salt Lake meeting asked if there's any way for schools to utilize the bus for transportation, because private companies, they just can't accommodate with the demand right now. What is the law when it comes to schools using the bus?
So, you know, the bus is open to anybody who wants to use it, right? So if any school wants to do a field trip, all they got to do is, you know, they can pay the fare, they can take the kids on board the bus. But we have gone kind of out of that realm a little bit, and we've been doing a lot of outreach with like community groups, not just schools, but community groups, and even you know, the university system. A lot of people who haven't been on transit in a long time, we've been taking them out to maybe take them for a test ride on Skyline, mm-hmm. and then generally some of them have had the opportunity to ride the bus to Skyline, and I think they're pleasantly surprised that the bus that they knew growing up as a kid, you know, like those, the yellow, rusty, mm-hmm. rattle boxes. That's not what we run now. Like, we have some pretty nice buses now that connect to Skyline, and most of them say, like, I never know the bus was like this now. And that's a great feeling, too. So we've been doing a lot of work out in the community to just help people rediscover the transit that they thought they knew, and then discover that it's really not the same as it used to be. And I think Skyline's a great opportunity for people to maybe rethink their commute. And we're looking forward to, you know, next year, by the end of next year, we hope to have the next segment, the next four stations into town open on Skyline to Kalihi, to the edge of Kalihi, to maybe it'll be a thing, but to West Kalihi, to Middle Street.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. See, West Honolulu.
Yeah. So for young students, you know, they wouldn't be able to, it's not like, you know, Roberts where they can reserve a bus to take to a field trip. They'd have to go to the bus stop.
No, actually, we have some programs for schools where they can come to the bus facility and learn about the bus. And
yeah.
It's I love that part because you see all the kids and they get to learn about, you know, safety and like how the bus driver is their friend. And really, yeah. you know, in these times, I think there's a lot of angst. I used to ride the bus when I was like 7 or 8 years old. Mm-hmm. I used to catch the bus from school to go like to my gungung's house where he would be waiting for me there. And I think the most, even back then, like I think my mom used to worry about me crossing streets, yeah, because I had to cross Campbell Avenue to get to my gungung's house, and I think we would worry about the same things now, like we would worry about our keiki crossing streets, but I think now there's also, you know, stranger danger and a lot of things that maybe I didn't have to deal with when I was growing up. But we also want to emphasize to our keiki, like, if you're ever in distress or if something happens, the bus driver is your friend. You know, go tell the bus driver. And we've had some awesome stories where our bus drivers have really stepped up to help the community in need. And one of them was actually in service, and he kept seeing the same boy running after his bus. And he recognized the boy, so, you know, he called for help, and police came and reunited the boy with his family, and those kinds of things. I mean, I just love that our drivers are part of the fabric of this community, yeah. even though we're kind of a big city. So just, you know, to that, I think we need to discover that transit is, well, we need to help people rediscover that our transit system is very safe. And when we can teach kids about mobility, we really we give them a leg up on just so many things. So being able to get places is such a valuable thing. And besides, parents, you know, by the way, if you teach your kids how to use transit, that's like rides you don't have to chauffeur them around with anymore. You can tell them to go ride the bus. We also have had a program in place with the DOE where all the public schools and high schools, they're eligible to get a pass.
Oh, okay.
So that's really shown the value of the accessibility of transit. We know that the kids don't only use that to get to and from school, but they use it to get to, you know, their extracurricular activities, their sports. We had some kids that actually say, because the school bus trips only take them from their home to the school and then to the school and back, they had issues getting to like football practice and other things. And so we like to hear that we're a part of that solution.
Yeah.
And I think people often forget that, you know, transit and mobility is kind of the how sometimes. So in the city too, I think one of the most exciting things that I'm kind of hyped up about this year is we've forged some new relationships with our newest city departments on, you know, with the state, really looking at places where we can develop affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of stood up on my chair one cabinet meeting and I'm like, you may not develop housing, affordable housing, where there's no transit access. Please let us know, you know, like we can't do one. It's like love and marriage. You can't have one without the other, right? So I think we've been approaching all of our affordable housing in that vein. Like, it's fine. It's great to have affordable housing, but if people can't get there, then it loses a lot of value.
Mm-hmm.
So again, with Skyline and with like our closer held relationships on city and state and federal levels, I think we're gonna like discover that secret sauce, I think, very soon, to how do we restore affordability to housing and how do we restore mobility to this island. And I think that's one of the things people complain about the most is how much housing costs and how hard it is to get around. And imagine it, like, just for a day, if you didn't have to even worry about how long was it going to take you to get someplace.
Yeah.
That'd be a different life, right? If you knew how long it was going to take you, then I think people can put up with that. But this uncertainty, it always makes people upset about it, about, like, just getting around this mm-hmm. island. It gives people unnecessary angst. So I look towards the end of 2025 when we'll have Skyline operating through the airport. And I think for all the West Side residents who maybe told their relative, hey, you can take one later flight in because I don't like come pick you up at the airport at 4:30. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is a new kind of certainty that we have. Hop on Skyline, pick you up from the station. All I got to do is drive down the hill, maybe go get you. And then it's just something that we don't even, it's something awesome on the horizon that I think a lot of people even haven't really thought about yet.
Yeah. You know, but as you encourage more folks to use Skyline and the bus and become more multimodal, is there anything that you wish people would know? Because I remember I used to catch bus too when I was younger. And my mom used to always say, you know, like, if there's somebody older, you know, stand up, give them your seat. Or, you know, I recently asked one of your coworkers, you know, like, I have a dog. If I started taking the bus to work, can my dog come with me so I can drop him off somewhere in town? You know, what are some rules that you want folks to know as we encourage more people to ride?
You know, for me, I one of the things is I think rules are good, but I think courtesy is even better. So I ride the bus and I ride Skyline a lot to get around to where I need to go. And there's some things that somehow we've forgotten along the way. Like, what is like, I guess, in a real Rep Replinger vein, you know what bugs me? Nah, these are things that I see on the bus and on Skyline that I think about a lot. Mm-hmm. And I always think about how to message it. So yeah, maybe I gotta lay it down now and this is the moment. But Skyline, first things first. When the doors open, when the platform screen gates open at the stations, please just let the people who are getting off get off. There's plenty of time to get on. Like, a lot of times, everybody just rushes the doors and the gates, and then, like, people are on the train trying to get off. And it's like, hey, let them get off, and then there's more room for you to get on.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you wouldn't do that for the elevator. Or I guess some people do, but I mean...
Well, that's what we always said. When we opened Skyline, we're like, elevator rules apply. Let people out first, because no sense crowd the whole elevator and have to sort out the mess, right?
Yeah.
Let the people off first and get on. So that's something I see on Skyline. But on the bus, man, sometimes I want to say something, but I cannot, right? But so like I said, I'm going to say it now. You know, most of our buses have more than one door on them. Right? And how many times I see people like leave the back side of the bus, walk right by the back doors, and then go and clog up the front door when people are trying to board. And I'm like, I get it. If you're like Kupuna and the front of the bus kneels and you want like the lower step out, that's absolutely fine. But it's almost like the back doors we have on the bus. Sometimes I think they're invisible, you know. People just walk right by and then they don't even like try to use the back doors. And I'm like, so I'll just say, when you can, know that there is a back door you can use to exit. It'll make the people boarding get on faster and everybody will be on their way quicker. What did they say on the airplane? Sometimes the nearest exit might be behind you. Yeah. I don't want to be that way. Like, I don't want to make it a rule. Like, you have to get off through the back door. But courtesy is nice, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And even, like, for those boarding, like, if you're waiting at the bus stop and maybe, you know, if you're waiting for the bus, maybe have your fare ready. Have your holocard out. Have it ready. Because I see it all the time, too, where people get on the bus and then they start looking for their holocard and their wallet in their bag. And sometimes it takes a long time. And then we miss traffic lights and other things like that. But maybe it's the way I approach life. I think, like, if we delay the bus for 1 minute just because, you know, I'm looking through my pocket, I'm looking for my holocard, right? If there's 20 other people on the bus, we wasted 20 minutes right there. So I just want to remind people, like, not a rule, but as a courtesy, just be mindful of everybody's time. Be ready to board. Be ready. Have your fare ready. Get out through the back when you can. You know what else, too? Take off your backpack sometimes on crowded buses. Because I notice sometimes people, they put the backpack on. And they're very well aware of their own personal space, right? But when they turn around, they whack Auntie on the head with their backpack.
And, yeah.
Like, I think people are less aware of, like,
when they have a turtle
their
shell.
Tail swing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Maybe this is a good therapeutic session for me to get all my, my angst out about when I ride the bus. But also, be nice to your bus operators. They have a very hard job. They're driving, so you don't have to.
Right.
And all the, you know, the things that we talked about, this impatience of others and people's general, you know, I think worsening habits on our roadways.
Yeah.
They're at the front line of that. And so, you know, and maybe a couple more thoughts on that, if that's okay. You know, like, a lot of people get on and the first thing they declare to the bus driver is, you're late. And you know, they get late.
Yeah.
I don't think it's their fault that they're late. You know, something might have happened. There might be traffic, you know, or they'll go like, what happened to the bus in front of you? And then really, they only know what's their bus, right? Like, I know where my bus is. I don't know where the bus in front of me is. And I think those kinds of things really start to, like, tear at the hearts of the bus driver. I mean, it makes it harder for them to do their job. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things we can do just out of courtesy to just make your ride and everybody else's ride and the driver's drive so much better. And so just kind of putting it out there.
Yeah.
God, I hope nobody complains about me after I say all these things.
You mentioned Skyline, and are you in the party planning business? Because your baby is about to have its first baby luau.
I know. I think, like most parents too, we're kind of panicking about it. We're like, oh, it's almost a year old. It says it's been that long. How did the time go so fast? And I think what we want to do is just put out there that Skyline, we're aiming for, you know, more greatness in about a year. And I know there's a lot of people who would say, well, nobody's riding it. But, you know, the facts are somewhat different. You know, like, from the average weekday that we had after the free period ended, our ridership has grown about anywhere from 15 to 17% on weekdays.
Mm-hmm.
And what's super interesting is we've noticed the ridership kind of seesaw a little bit. So we used to have lower ridership on the weekdays and then great ridership on the Saturday, Sunday, which I think now we always attributed it to the fact that we thought people were using it as more, you know, let's go try it out. Let's go see what it's about. And so on the weekends, a lot of people would use that as their weekend activity. Well, we've seen that kind of, like I said, seesaw out, balance out, where the ridership has gotten higher on the weekdays. And it's at about 3,600, and kind of lowered out on Saturday and Sunday. So on Saturdays, we're looking at about maybe like a 2,500 passenger. The ridership is at about 2,500 on Saturdays and maybe at about 2,000 for Sundays. So we also know that, I think because of the swap meet, Wednesday is our highest weekday. So although the stadium is closed, activities at the stadium still account for, like, these little fluctuations in ridership.
Yeah.
We've also, as much as we talked about earlier, like, making sure that we outreach to the community to let them know Skyline is there for them, to introduce Keiki and Keiki through Kupuna, like, how to use Skyline and how to use transit in general, not just Skyline, but the bus. we've extended the hours for different events, and I think that's a great touch point for our community. So, and every time we do it, it's totally worth it because we can see what the ridership bump is.
Yeah.
So we extended it recently to help the Prince Kuhio Parade, which moved out to Kapolei. And I think the fact that the Association of Hawaiian Civic Clubs made that, it was a big decision to take it out of Waikiki, where it had been for many years and was actually a legacy event in Waikiki, to relocate that out to Kapolei, to be close to a lot of the Department of Hawaiian Homelands, homesteaders out there. And the fact is over the last 2 years, I mean, I've been in the parade and you see the amount of people that come out. So this year we actually extended Skyline so that people could come from town or wherever they're coming from and access the parade and enjoy the activities during the parade in downtown Kapolei and at Kamakana Ali'i afterwards. And you know, those kinds of things are just so good for the heart. Like you see how much people are enjoying their time, and that's how I guess we know like that it was worth it, you know.
Sticking with Skyline, I had something on this particular day, but I just want to know, what was it like to meet Secretary Pete Buttigieg?
Oh, that guy's awesome.
I was so mad. I had another engagement.
He's super awesome, especially for like a transit geek like me. I've said something that I wish I could take back, actually. I'll share this with the podcast. But I had like a couple, I mean, I was really lucky. I had some time to spend with him and just walking him from place to place. And I also had the privilege of welcoming him to the station aboard Skyline. But when I had a quiet moment, he asked me, like, he was talking to me a little bit. And I said, you know what, I just can't get over it. I'm so excited to meet you. And he was like, yeah. And I said, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, for a transit geek, it's like, this is what like regular people feel like when they get to meet like Beyonce. And as soon as I said that, he started laughing and he goes, I'm gonna have to tell my husband that. I don't think he feels the same way. And I felt kind of dumb, but I mean,
no, that's the reaction. That's a good reaction. That's...
I mean, you know, like when you're around somebody that you have so much respect for and then you get to meet them
you
and you're kind of fanboying.
Yeah,
he's like transportation Beyonce. But I felt really dumb after I said that. I wish I could take it back, but maybe it was okay.
The Hapalua is this weekend, which means I know that your guys are working on a Sunday, which is always the case when there's road events. But what kinds of things fill your weekend? A normal weekend.
Me?
Yeah. Hobbies, interests.
Ooh.
What fills the John Nowuchi weekend?
Ooh. Let me think about this. So, I think if I have anything that's close to a hobby, it's something that feeds another one of my hobbies. So, I really like good food. And I like to eat. So, I usually spend the weekend cooking something.
Okay.
And I think lately, it was maybe... I've always liked to cook and I've always liked to eat, of course. That's why I'm in the shape that I'm in. But, you know, I think there's something more to it. Like, when I do this job, a lot of times we're doing large projects that take many years, that take a lot of, you know, community support, a lot of community engagement. And we make decisions on a daily basis. But it's so rare that we get to finish stuff, that we get to, like, you know, put a nail in something and say, you know, this is done, right? Mm-hmm. And so we had that moment on June 30th when Skyline opened. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I thought to myself, you know, I've been working on this for about 15 years of my career, last 15 consecutive years, and it's open. But even then, like, it's not done. We have to do things to nurture it and keep it going. So I think I find a lot of pleasure in, like, picking a recipe, getting the ingredients, and just getting it done and then eating it, right? And I think that gives you like this moment where you can be like, yeah, I nailed it, you know? And I think we get to nail stuff in this job. Like, we get to say nailed it, but it just takes so much longer and it spans so much time that everybody needs small wins here and there. And I think for me, just cooking something that I've always liked eating or I always wondered how it's made, I think there's a huge amount of satisfaction in that.
Yeah. All right, so you don't have that much time. You know, my team, Scott Humber, Ian Shearing, Ryan Wilson, we're all coming over to your house. You don't have that much time. What are you making?
Oh.
What's your go-to?
How's this?
You cannot think that much. Whatever you have in your kitchen already.
I'm going to pick something that I just tried. And it's
And you're good
amazing.
At it already?
No, I mean, it's like, you know, those not like those IG reels, recipes.
Yeah.
You know what is so winter and super easy? Is those Big Mac tacos.
Oh. Okay.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured out a way that I can turn on more than a few at a time by using a wok. So more innovation there, right?
Okay.
But nah, there's nothing like, yeah, smashing that meat down and like getting that nice crispy smash
burger. And it's kind of impressive too, yeah.
It just tastes really good for so little effort.
Yeah.
The only thing is like living in a condo, like I just need better like ventilation, you know?
Yeah.
Because everything smells pretty beefy for the next few days.
Well, John, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything we missed?
I don't think so. I mean, again, I'm probably just going to circle back to, hey, can we just be more patient with each other out there on the roadways? Like, have more aloha, drive with aloha. And you know what? If you make a mistake, just own it, own it. Don't, like, get road ragey because somebody caught you having mistakes. And I think for local people, that's rough. You know, when somebody, like, catches you doing something wrong, the hardest thing to do is sometimes just swallow your pride and go, yeah, you know what? I was wrong. And just, you know, throw the shaka and just move on humbly. I think that we need way more of that, like more humble, more humility out there on the roadway.
Right on. Well said. Thanks, John.
Yeah, thanks.
And tonight is another Town Hall Thursday. We'll be at Wahiawa Elementary. Tonight's meeting is starting a bit later at 7 to allow folks some extra travel time. Take the bus if you can. Then next week we'll be at Ke'eli Ko'olani Middle School at 6:30 p.m. That's for the folks in downtown, Chinatown, and Kalihi. We hope to see you there. Mahalo to John for joining us. Mahalo to you for listening. And until next time, aloha.